Title of the message tonight. And to be real honest with you, the vast majority of folks that can't wait to talk to you about their walk with the Lord don't have one. Please don't take this the wrong way. The closer you get to the Lord, I've said this 100 times, the more you come to realize that you are a sinner. I mean, He just lets you know it right off the bat that you're a sinner. And the closer you get to Him, the more you come to the realization, the greater He is. And if you can let yourself know that and let yourself believe that, you won't tell people about your walk with God. You'll tell people about God's walk with you. And as I looked at this message, and I've had this on my mind for a long time, I heard the song In the Garden, and He walks with me, talks with me, tells me that I am His own. And I love that song, and I love the thought process behind it, that Jesus is the one walking with me. It's like you did something to get your salvation when Christ paid every portion of it. It's like you're doing something to keep your salvation when you're not doing that at all. It's Christ that's keeping you. You're not keeping it. So Jesus does all of the work in our lives, and it's what a wonderful Savior we have. Just to think of those lines, what a wonderful Savior we have, and it's so wonderful to know that He's always with us. Not only, I mean, I know He resides within us. I understand that. But do you know that Jesus always has a desire to be with you? He has a desire to have that fellowship. Now, a lot of times we ignore it, right? I mean, a lot of times we don't care that much about it, and I got to believe that bothers Him. I mean, He's done so many things for us. But He does know your heart. And if you condemn yourself, if guilt is too much, He's greater than that too. God is so good to us. As I thought about these things, I want to go to Genesis chapter 3. Let's all stand together. I've got 6 things, and there are many, many, many more. You could write down 150 more of these very, very easily, times that He's walking with you, times that Jesus takes the time to walk with you. Look at these verses. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Abraham and said unto him, Where art thou? What a good God we have. Brother Bobby, could you lead us in prayer, please? Please. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you again for coming back tonight. Very seldom, very few times, if any at all, do you see Jesus in a hurry. Very seldom does He have to run. I mean, it's not necessary for Him. He knows what's going on. He's right on time every time. Jesus is never late. He's always wonderful. And the great thing about the Lord is that's our Lord. That wonderful Lord that I'm talking about is our Lord. That's Jesus Christ. It's not Allah. And Allah is not God. It's not another word for God. It's not another example of God. Allah is not God. God is God. Jesus is His Son, and the Holy Spirit is the third part of that Trinity, which are all together at the same time. The great thing about our Jesus Christ, though, is that He loves us. He loves us so very, very much. He loves us enough to correct us. He loves us enough to make sure that we're doing the right thing. He loves us enough to make sure that we have our instruction manual. He loves us enough that even in this time, and I'm going to start out very, very easily in the word disobedience. If you know what's going on right here, it's very simple. They were disobedient. This was not something that the Lord did not know. I get the biggest kick out of that. Well, if they wouldn't have done it, then Jesus would have done it. Jesus knew what was coming. Nothing ever occurred to God. I get the biggest kick out of guys that they look at the Bible and say, well, man, why did Jesus allow this to happen? Jesus knew what was coming on all along. There's nothing that surprises Him. It's not like Jesus says, oh, man, I can't believe that happened. That doesn't affect things like that. Jesus knows what's going on. We see Eve. And you can blame it on whoever you want, they sinned. Adam, did it knowingly. You can paint that beautiful picture about how Jesus came down for the ungodly and desired to partake of their sin on that cross of Calvary. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want you to see this, and this is neat to me. Jesus had given them everything. He gave them the garden, and their only job was to tend the garden. The only thing that they were supposed to do is stay away from that tree. The only thing they were supposed to, only one rule, all the other rules were taken care of. They were in a place where there was no shame. They were completely innocent. It was one of those times where everything was perfect. All they had to do is one thing that Dad told them. Isn't that something? Just one thing. There wasn't a myriad of things. After Brother Dave gave your 40-minute tirade to you kids the other day, and all the wonderful things that go with that, the kids were yawning while I was doing it. I'm trying, by the way, I hope and pray that some of your kids came home and told you all about it. Can I help you? You can get mad at me all you want to. I just want your kids to be the best. You can get mad at me all you want to. All I'm trying to do is make them realize that they've got something very important to do. It's not going to be found on an Xbox or whatever, and I'm not against those things. You know, whatever, they're you're allowed to have some entertainment. But at the very same time, I want them to know I want something better. What are you called to do, son? That would be the best thing, isn't it? So anything else would be what? Not the best. What do I want for the children? I want the best. I won't let him off the hook. And you can get mad at me all you want to, but if God called him to preach, I want him to know that he can. I want your kids to be the best. And as your associate pastor deals with them daily and works with them, I don't want them to take a moment off. Why? Because I want what's best. As you look at this beautiful picture, Jesus Christ could have very well said, you know what? It didn't work out this way. Let me try it again with a new couple. Amen? He's God. He makes the rules. But God knew this was coming, and what I really enjoy about Jesus Christ is in the midst of their disobedience, in the midst of them doing wrong, in the midst of them breaking the only rule that they were given, you see Christ walking and saying, "Where art thou? Where art thou?" Do you think he really didn't know where they were? Huh? Hide and go seek with God? You're going to lose. He knows everything. You sewed a fig leaf together and that's going to hide you? He's God. And as they walked, God didn't come after them and yell and scream. He just let them know that I am the Lord God. This is what I've done. Now because you've done this, this is what must happen to you. They excused themselves from the Garden of Eden. God didn't tell them to run out. They excuse themselves. That's why the kids get in trouble. It's not them. It's not me luring the punishment. It's them asking for it. Amen. I mean, that's the request. Please punish me because this is what I want to do. Amen. And as you look at this, Jesus walks with them in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, "Where art thou?" You know, Christian, in the midst of our disobedience, do you realize that Jesus is still there? In the midst of our disobedience, have you ever had him ask you, "Brother Bill, where are you?" Huh? He hasn't changed much. Bible says, "I change not." So it's amazing to me that as disobedient as we are, and by the way, we all can claim disobedience from time to time, I'm so thankful that the steps that I take in the wrong direction, the Lord doesn't stay away from me. I don't like that kind of preaching where you leave the Lord. You can leave the Lord, turn your back on him all you want to, but he's always there. The Bible says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Believe me, Jesus is always there in the midst of our disobedience, in the midst of us not doing what God has asked us to do. Jesus Christ still walks with you. Number two, Jesus not only walks in times of disobedience, he walks because of his duty. Now I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke. Look at chapter 13 with me, please. Excuse me. Verse Verse 31, the Bible says, "The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem." Jesus has given each one of us a duty. I spent a long time this morning talking about you coming to the realization that God has something for you to do. Jesus is showing us this because he says, "I've got to walk in that which I've told you I was going to do." Jesus says, "I've got to walk. I've got to go ahead and do that road." And Christian, I've got to be honest with you. If Jesus has told you to take a road, if Jesus has told you to go down a road, if Jesus has told you to examine a road, if Jesus has told you to explore a road, you must then do it. Why? Because it's your duty to do it. You must do what Jesus Christ has asked you to do. Brother Rod, I don't care how long the road is, how arduous the journey, I don't care how bad it gets, you must be an evangelist. Because that's what God has told you to do. You can't take a moment and say, "God, I don't think what you've told me to do is the right way." But even in your disobedience, he will still be with you. You've got to realize that if God has told you to do something, guess what? He's going to walk with you. It's his duty to walk with you. In this case, I'm glad to see that he's talking about preachers. I'm glad to see that he's saying to us, there must never not be a preacher at Bethel Baptist Church. I'm glad he's saying to us, there must never be a time when independent, fundamental, Baptist, blood washed, born again, you got to add all those titles on nowadays. You've got to have those things because I'm going to tell you, there cannot fail to be preachers. There cannot fail to be a man of God because it's our duty to preach. I'm not going to tuck tail on the Bible. I'm not going to tuck tail on the things that have been passed down to us through our Baptist heritage. And son, neither are you. It's good to see young men. I'm glad to see young men that desire to have a good work, the work of a preacher. I'm glad to see it. Why? Because, hey, I'm only 43 years old. I got a long time if the Lord allows. But the men of old, the old gray-headed, those are passing off the scene. There's got to be a man that has a desire to preach God's word and have God walk with him. But it's not just for preachers. It's your duty as well. As a Christian, you've got to understand that if God has told you to do something, he'll walk with you. He's not going to send you out without him. He's not going to go off and leave you stranded. He's not going to tell you to do something that he can't help you to perform. Jesus Christ is a wonderful God that walks with us during our times that we must work. We must work. Third thing, he walks with us in our despair. You know, it doesn't seem like that, does it? There's been times that I just don't understand. I don't understand why things happen. You ever been there? You just don't get it. God, why are you doing what you're doing? I don't understand. But you know, Christian, it's not our job to understand. It's our job to trust God. Boy, that's easier said than done. Please don't misread me. I'm not minimizing anything that any of us are going through. But at the very same time, no matter what we're going through, he's there with us. I want to show you a wonderful example of that over in Luke 24. Jesus has just been crucified. It's amazing to me. He told them it was coming. Did he not? He told them what was going to happen. They didn't believe him. Oh, you're so strong and powerful. You're so wonderful. You're going to set up your kingdom right now, but that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was to send a lamb and then send that lamb to Calvary so we all may have our sins paid for. What a wonderful God we serve. And as two men walk down the road, probably in the greatest time of despair, perhaps in their life, the thought process is, this man was our Savior. This man was one that I believed was the Messiah. And as they watched him crucified, as they thought and waited for him to take himself down off the cross, not understanding that he could not come down just for the simple fact that Dave Ballard had to be saved someday. He had to stay there. In the midst of their despair and what they had witnessed, could you imagine being there, witnessing what had happened in a city where they cried for him to be crucified. This man had done that, so many things, healed so many people. And there they are, crucify him. Crucify him. Can you imagine the emotional state? They were in a state of despair. I believe that. And as you look at these verses in Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 13, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. They talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. How many agree that they are in a time of despair? How many would agree that the things had not gone the way they had hoped? Things had not gone maybe the way that they had planned. Yet here comes Jesus. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? You know, Christian, I got to ask you a question. Is Jesus ever leaving you? I know this is easy to say and hard to live. I get that. But do you know how much the Lord loves you? In your times of discouragement, and this is ultimate discouragement, when your God dies, huh? Am I understating that? Am I overstating that? In their eyes, their God died. In their eyes, the one that they had all their belief in was no longer. In their eyes, their one, they saw, oh, my Lord, have mercy. Did you not know what happened, sir? Did you not hear what occurred? Look what they said. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? They said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. I am not overstating the fact that they believe that this man was the Redeemer. They got to see him. We get to look back. We get to look back on the glorious resurrection of Christ and faith believing what had happened. They were there. They saw that wonderful Redeemer get beaten. They saw that wonderful Redeemer get hung on the cross. In my opinion, the greatest time of despair. My greatest time of despair would be if somebody could possibly prove to me that the Bible's not real. Come on, seriously, come on. I'm trying to liken their despair with ours. And there's Christ in your time of despair. And there's Christ in your time of discouragement. And there's Christ when we say, where are you, God? He says, I'm right here. I'm walking with you. Isn't it wonderful that you have a Christ that is big enough to take care of all the problems, yet small enough to understand that you have them? Small enough to understand, friend enough, care enough. He loves you enough. He can deal with everybody's problems at once. What a good God we serve. He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am his own. He walks in our despair. Another place he walks, I like this. He walks where he is declared. I'm going to tell you right now, you go and start talking about Jesus Christ, he's walking there. That's where he is. You start talking about him, there he is. Look at John chapter 7 with me. After these things, because they sought to kill him, after these things, because they sought to run him out of the country, after these things, because they couldn't stand him being there anymore, Jesus decides to go walk in Galilee. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Jesus decided to go to a place that would accept him. Let me tell you something. Do you think he isn't walking amongst us even now? Do you think his spirit isn't here, where he's being declared as the great, as the almighty? Let me tell you something. We are all short except for him. We do nothing good except for Jesus Christ. We have nothing to offer except for Him. And I promise you, if you go walking street to street, door to door, and you proclaim your Savior, He will be there. I'm too afraid. I don't want to knock on a door. Trust me, Christ is there. You can do it with Him there. You can do it. There's no way I could ever, no way, are you kidding me? There's no way I could ever preach a message. No way I could ever proclaim His name. Yet here I am, knowing that Christ is with me. It's not of my own. It's all of Him. Isn't it wonderful that you're walking with a God that every time you talk about Him, He's walking with you? No need to be afraid. No need to fear. Fear not their faces. I'm not interested in how you feel about this message. I'm not interested in getting letters afterwards. Preach about a homosexual, I get 7 letters. I couldn't care less. Christ is walking with me. He wants me to declare His word. We worry so much about tickling ears and increasing crowds. I'm going to tell you, I'd rather have a crowd of one, and that's my Savior walking with me. He walks where He has declared, where He is declared. One book over, John chapter 8. I love this. Do you know we have a good God? Have I said that enough? Good night. John chapter 8, verse 12. I love this. He walks in light, so we won't have to walk in darkness. Boy, that's good. Look at verse number 12 there in John chapter 8. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Doesn't that about preach for itself? I mean, good night. You can't get any better than that. Jesus Christ is a godly flashlight. He is someone that will not walk in dark, cannot walk in darkness. He won't do it. He's light. He's the light of the world. There's no darkness in Him. And He's the one that walks with you. That Christ, that God, that God-man, that man that cared enough to leave the portals of glory and come down here to save your soul, that's the very God that walks with you every day. Do you realize that you don't have to walk in darkness? Now, wait a minute. You say, you know, I can't do it. I can't live a clean life. That's not true. I really have a hard time with that. I can't stop drinking alcohol. You're a liar. Because you, if you're saved, you've got a God that walks with you that is the light of the world that will light your path and take you out of darkness. He desires to do this. You've got a God that loves you enough. You've got a Lord that desires to walk you in light all of your days. Every step of your way, you can walk in great and wondrous light, knowing that He's walking with you. By the way, that light is not your light. You don't make it brighter. Your abilities do not cause the light to shine. Your good talents do not make it better. Christ is all in all. He is the light that shineth all the way. You're none of it. You're just following and walking with Him. What a good God you have. By the way, you can go in darkness. But do you know how much you're going to have to cover up your eyes to get out of the light of Christ? Bible says He never leaves you nor forsake you. You're going to have to ignore a lot of Scripture to go into darkness or stay in your darkness. You're going to have to ignore a lot of Scripture to be able to tell me that Christ is no longer with you. You're going to have to show me a lot of persistent sin to tell me that Christ cannot light your way. Because I'm telling you, I know a man who can. That Savior will light your way. He'll light your path. He is light. Why? So I don't have to walk in darkness. Because if He's not there, I'm walking in darkness. You ever been in a place where you can't see at all? I was at this hunting trip with my dad 2 weeks ago. And There's no lights there. Nothing. No lights. So once the lights turn off, there's nothing. Complete and utter darkness. It's been a long time since I've seen that. It's been a long time. I live in Ravenna. I mean, everything's lit up here. You look at our parking lot, it's like Christmas out there all the time. Which is fine. I like having lights on. Don't misread me. But I came to the grips. If that light that's in you, that God conscious, that light, be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, the Lord saved you. Doesn't that make you feel good? I mean, I'm not into feeling, but isn't it great to know that that God that saved you is light? And that light that's in you cannot be darkness anymore. And as I sat in that bed and I thought about how dark it was, good Lord have mercy, how about the people of the world that are walking in that? How about the people in the world? Do you know how crazy, have you heard on the news how crazy heroin is getting? Where mamas are dropping their babies off at this house because they can't get off heroin? That's walking in darkness. That's walking in absolute darkness when you can't get out of that stuff. And it's, by the way, let me tell you something right now. You get into it, it's difficult to get out. Don't you sit here and think, well, I'll just pray and everything will be fine. No, hogwash, you've never seen somebody in it. That's why do you think we preach so hard against this garbage to you kids? Huh? Because we don't want you to get in it. Because once you get in it, it's almost impossible to get out. It's almost impossible. It's a darkness you can't even imagine. Can you imagine I got up out of the bed to try to go outside to go to the bathroom and I had a hard time finding the door, buddy? Why? Because it was dark. You're going to try to find your way in this world and you're going to be addicted or all these things that you can be because Christ isn't walking with you. I'm going to tell you, Christ doesn't want to leave you. Don't walk in darkness. Why should you preach against sin? To get your people out of darkness. I'm not for the emerging church garbage that's happening out there with Rick Warren. I'm not for that. Why? Because sin has to be dealt with. Sin has got to be dealt with. You may not like it, but I'm not here to make you like me. I'm here to tell you, if you stay in your sin, you're going to walk in some darkness that you don't want to be in. And you're going to have to get go away from Christ an awful lot to get out of His light. He's always has a desire to walk with you. He's always there. It's you that are desiring to have the light shut off. That flesh. Aren't you glad, though? Even in your disobedience, the first one we did, even in your disobedience, He's still walking with you. What a good God we have. Oh, I understand He won't go to the places. But know this, Christ desperately wants you to walk with Him. And He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that a great God? That God that walks with us. That God that stays with us. That God that helps us. Last one. I'm so excited about this. We've talked about this before. But there's a place. He walks with us all the way from the beginning. The great thing about God is He knows. This is where religion gets crazy. He knows who's going to get saved. He knows who's not going to get saved. We don't. That's why we soul win. We don't know that. If you act like you do know that, you're crazy. He knows, though. He knows who's going to get saved. He knows what's going to happen. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows, and He watches over the whole world. I believe He wants everybody to be saved, and He watches over all of them and desperately desires them to be saved. That's why He came to this earth. But from my spiritual birth to my last breath, I've got a Christ that has walked with me every step of the way. From the time I was 11 years old, I got saved. I led a life of misery for many years. Christ walked with me that whole time, never left me go. I believe He was with me the day that I drove my car across the expressway. I believe He was there the day that I almost died because of that. I believe He was there keeping all that away from me. Why? Because He had a purpose for my life if I'd ever get my head right. He did those things because He wants to know that He walks with me. He wants me to know that He talks with me. He wants me to know that I am His own. But not only through your life, He also walks with you through your death. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He's talking about your life. If you'd be honest, he's made you to lie down in some green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. What a good God we have. I'm so excited to know that he, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Yea, verse 4, though I walk. Yea, though I walk, he's with me. Yea, though I walk, I've watched some of the greatest saints of God go home to be with the Lord in the last 8 years. I watched them. I watched them know that their Savior was walking with them. I watched them know in the most time of despair, in the greatest time of despair, showing that Christ walked with them. The greatest time of darkness, there's Christ walking with them. The greatest time of discouragement, there's Christ walking with them. The greatest sense of duty, come on now. The greatest duty that somebody like Mary McDaniel and somebody like Ann Davis could have ever performed is telling people about Jesus Christ while they're walking through that valley. And Jesus walked with them. As they declared his wonderful name to all that would listen, there's Christ walking with them. As they lived their life for Christ, walking with them all the way, there they go through the valley of the shadow of death, and there he is walking with them. Christ never leaves you. You got to realize something, that Christ is walking with you. Where does Christ walk? Where do you walk? In the times of your life, where do you walk? Because that's where Christ is. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful God we have. What a wonderful Jesus Christ we have. That even when we're jerks, I know none of you are. Praise God for you, not jerks. But I've been one a lot. And there he still is. You ever feel like Jesus comes up behind you and goes, Devin calls that an attitude adjustment. There are times when have you ever been there? When you just feel like Christ isn't there. You just feel like Christ is not there. Why are you letting this happen to me? He's walking with you. Walk with him. He's not going to lead you astray. He's not going to lead you down a path that you can't go down. You know what he's going to do? He's going to walk with you. And he's going to bring you through. He's not going to run. Your problem may last longer than you want it to. You ever had that? Any problem is longer than you want it to be, amen. I mean, you want the problem to be over with way before it happens. But going through your problems, going through life's dilemmas, he's going to walk with you. Don't plan on running. Don't get ahead of him. Don't try to fix it yourself. You ever try to do that? It's not a surprise to me that Miss Debbie is not healed yet. You know why? Because we're stupid. We should have walked with Christ over to their house, anointed her with oil, and claimed Scripture a long time ago. Amen? We did it with our pastor, and one of the greatest things that rings true, Christ was walking with preacher all throughout that sickness. There's never a time that Christ wasn't with preacher. Never. And we go in there and we claim Scripture. He comes off the ventilator. Never forget it. Never forget it in my entire life. I'll never forget it. You know, Perry Teets asked me, what'd you wait so long for? You ever try to understand in your life why you wait so long to ask the Lord for his help? Because he's there. Well, I prayed 3 times and he didn't answer. Pray 4. We must realize that Jesus is walking with us. No matter what we're doing, no matter where we go, Jesus loves you. And he doesn't want you to go into a bad place. He doesn't want you to do bad things. But trust me, he's with you. He loves you. It's in my heart shouldn't we turn around and walk with Him? Do the right thing. Do what we're supposed to do. Let His light lead our way instead of walking in darkness. Don't you think that's what we ought to do? What a great God we have. This may not have been the most flamboyant I've ever brought. But I'm telling you right now, if you're headed into a dark thing and you're headed into tragedy and you're headed into these things, please understand that you've got a Savior that loves you. And that Savior's walking with you. He'll never leave you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, You're so good to us. The Bible says, "What is man that Thou art mindful of him?" I'm amazed that You care at all about me. I just am. Lord God, thank You for walking with me. Thank You for understanding. Thank You for being greater than my heart when it condemns me. Thank You for knowing my flesh and knowing my frame. Thank You for walking with me. Lord, I pray that we as sinners would have a desire to come out of that sin. We would have a desire to start doing the right things and not do the wrong things. Start knowing our sense of duty to talk about You to other people. Lord, along the way, come to a realization that You're such a great Savior, that You're always walking with us. You're always loving us. You died for us. Why wouldn't You take care of us? Lord God, please, let us look to You. Oh God, let us look to You. These days may be getting a little bit scary, but Lord, if we're looking at You, we know that You're going to take us through them. We know that You're going to help us. We know that You're going to walk with us. We know that You're going to protect us and provide for us. So Lord God, let us be about Your business and not worry about what everyone else is doing. Worry about Your business. Lord, please help us tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say with an uplifted hand, I know that I know 100% sure that if I were to die right now, that I would go to heaven. I've asked that Christ to save me and He's walking with me. Can you raise your hands real big and tall? You may put them down. Everyone in this room raise their hand. I'm so excited about that. Christian, Christ walks with you. He talks with you. He tells you that you're His own. You've got a God that loves you. Don't doubt His love for you. Don't doubt His generosity, His provision. Don't doubt any of those things. You've got a God that walks with you. Walk with Him too. Show Him that you love Him. Work for Him. Talk about Him. Declare Him. It's our duty to do that. Let's do what He's asked us to do. Follow Him who is light, because He certainly does walk with us. What a great God we serve. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for the wonderful opportunity that it is to stand behind this pulpit again. Lord God, why You called me to preach, I don't know, but I sure am glad that You did. Lord, help us as we have this invitation. Have Your will and way. And Lord, walk with the folks as they come to this altar today. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. With everyone standing, what are we singing today?